पुपाय शिवाय स्वयं विष्णु हर हर महंस परिव्रजा का चाग अष्ट सरस्वती श्री श्रीमान भाई शरण अरविंदा भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। After being cursed by the sages, the Doorman said, "It is quite apt that you have punished us for neglecting to respect sages like you. But we pray that due to your compassion at our repentance, the illusion of forgetting the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not come upon us as we go progressively downward." After being cursed by the sages, the doorman said, "It is quite apt that you have punished us for neglecting to respect sages like you. But we pray that due to your compassion at our repentance, the illusion of forgetting the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not come upon us as we go progressively downward." Therefore, to a devotee, any heavy punishment is tolerable, but the one which affects forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord. The doorman, who were also devotees, could understand the punishment meted out to them, for they were conscious of the great offense they had committed by not allowing the sages to enter Vaikuntha Loka. In the lowest species of life, including the animal species, forgetfulness of the Lord is very prominent. The doorman were aware that they were going to the criminal department of the material world, and they expected that they might go to the lowest species and forget the Supreme Lord. They prayed, therefore, that this might not happen in the lives they were going to accept because of the curse. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, verses 19 and 20, it is said that those who are envious of the Lord and His devotees are thrown into the species of abominable life. Life after life, such fools are unable to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore they continue going down and down. Om Agyan Smirandasya Jananjaran Salakayata Suraman Sandina Tashmaish जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवा हरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। आफ्टर बीइंग कर्स्ड बाय द सेजेस द डोमन सेड इट इज क्वाइट एप्ट दैट यू हैव पनिश्ड अस for neglecting to respect sages like you. But we pray that due to your compassion, at our repentance, the illusion of forgetting the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not come upon us as we go progressively downwards. So here Jaya Vijay, the doorman of Vaikuntha, are very much afraid of going down into the lower species of life where they may not be able to remember the Lord. This is the great fear. Prabhupada said any punishment, however heavy it is tolerable by the devotees. But that punishment where they forget the Lord, that is intolerable. They never want to forget the Lord in any circumstances. So therefore these two Dom and Jai Bijai are very, very frightened about going into the material world. And this is very instructive because we're in the material world already, but sometimes we're not frightened. I mean, lots of the times we're not really frightened of our situation. We sometimes think it's not so bad here, and maybe we can really get it together somehow or another, and we could live peaceably, and there may be some happiness. We may be able to make it together. And it's a very, very dangerous, fearful situation. Very risky. Prabhupada always used to say, very dangerous situation, because you don't know what's going to happen next. And we have the example of Bharat Maharaj, already advanced devotee, but he had to fall down to an animal species. Fortunately, he had remembrance of the Lord, but that was an exceptional case. Otherwise, the animals have no conception of the Lord. Prabhupada said in the animal kingdoms they don't have a church or a mosque or a temple. But some people say, what is the proof? How do you know the animals don't have a sense of God? And Prabhupada said, they never come to the temple. Here's the deities, they never come and listen to the Bhagavad class. So they don't have a conception. It's an abominable species. Cat, dog, hog. It's a very, very abominable species. And literally, the living entities go down to this, to as low as those who are envious of the Supreme Lord and His devotees. The Prabhupada's quoting these verses from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the 16th chapter, text 19 and 20, where Krishna says, Tanaham Vishatat Kuram Sam Sareshu Naradamam Shipami Ajasram Asubam Ashuri Ashurish Viva Yoneshu. That those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. 20. Asurim jone mapana mudha janamani janamani mam aprap yoiva kuntiya tato yanti hatamam gatim. Attaining repeated birth among the species of demoniac life, O son of Kunti, such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable types of existence. So here, this is Krishna's own words, that he is saying that such persons actually, he pushes them down into the most abominable. I perpetually cast them down. Krishna's doing that. I perpetually cast them down to lower species of life. So we hear that the Lord is always all merciful, but here it appears like a contradiction to the statement. He said, I perpetually cast them down. They're envious. So, how can the Lord said to be equal to everyone? These are the statements, he's equal to everyone, but here also he's saying that he perpetually casts them down into the lower species of life. So, Arjuna, he poses the question that it's after many lifetimes, then the living entity should eventually receive your mercy, Krishna, because after all, they are your past and parcels, you want them to come back. So even though they spend many, many births in lower species, somehow or another, they'll get your mercy somewhere along the line, and that'll free them from all their demoniac births. But Krishna says, no. He says, these foolish persons, they take birth in demoniac forms of life, birth after birth. And failing to achieve me, they descend into the lower forms of life. Even of dogs and hogs. And so there is no possibility of their receiving my mercy. not only my mercy doesn't fall on, upon them, but because of their in lower species of life, they can't even attain a good body in which to become pious at least, so they can approach Krishna. So they're constantly kept in that position, very, very low position. So how is, we say God is all merciful, how he can be all merciful? But the idea is he is merciful. He gives the Shastric information. So that's for everyone, the Shastra is for everyone. It tells you how to behave, how not to behave. It tells you the results of your activities. If you do good activities, what the result will be. If you do impious activities, what the result will be. So this is all Krishna's mercy. So you can say he's very partial to everyone. He's not impartial. He's saying, accept, approach a guru, accept the guru, learn the scriptures and put it into practice and you will get the result of it. So it's not that he's partial, but some people take and some people don't. So that's not Krishna's fault. It's the fault of the living entity. Prabhupada makes, there's a quote, and the sun never withholds its shining from the courtyard of a crooked person. So the sun is very liberal, even in it goes into the courtyard of a thief. He doesn't care who's, he goes everywhere, he's very merciful. Krishna is like that, he's impartial, he's giving everyone a chance to come back to Godhead, come back to him. He's giving the full information, he sends his representatives here, they canvass on his behalf. So he's very, very liberal and he wants everyone to come back. But if a living entity chooses not to, then Krishna won't interfere with that service. He can elevate you, and the same Lord can degrade you. He's saying, I give the understanding by which you can come to me. So it's him who's making us advance in spiritual life, and simultaneously it's him who's making us degraded. He pushes us up or pushes us down, it's all. So, Arjuna, he's saying, but Krishna, you are such a sankalpa. That means whatever you desire immediately becomes manifest. Like in the Bible, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So he used his desire, he had a light, immediately becomes manifest. So this is such a sankalpa. Whatever you desire can become manifest. The living entity is the part and parcel of Krishna. When he becomes perfect, he also has his perfection. Whatever he desires, immediately manifests. Whatever. It's unlimited. No limit. There's no limit what you can desire. Even in the lower stage, you can get a planet for yourself, right? It's one of the cities that. So it's nothing to Krishna to give you a whole planet, or even a universe. But you can get actually anything you want, anything you desire, when you're also in that perfection. So Krishna, you are like that. So by your desire, even though they're very sinful and fallen, immediately they can be believed. You can do it. You can save them, Krishna. After all, you come here to save them, so you can do it. So Krishna says, yes, it is possible. If I had a desire, but I don't even have a slight desire to save these people. I don't have the desire. I can do it. I have that potency to interfere with the living entity's minute independence. That is my prerogative. I can do it. He said, but I don't. I don't have a desire even to deal with these people. Let them go on suffering. It seems very cruel. I'm not going to interfere with them because there is no seed of desire in their heart also to come back to me. So why I should interfere? They don't have a desire to come to me. So let them rot in hell. I gave them an opportunity, they misused everything. So, God is perfect. He's all good, he's all bad also, you can say. He's complete in everything, so even when he's bad, okay, who cares for them? Let them rot forever in the material world. So that's the position. They rot in the material world. Then Krishna, the next verse, Krishna says, there are three gates leading to this hell. Lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. And these were the words that the four Kumaras used. And then the 19th sloka. No, sorry. In the 34th sloka, the Kumara said, therefore, let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, and thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies. So here Krishna is speaking about that in the next. There's three kinds of enemies that lead you to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. And so, one has to learn how to give up these three gates to hell, these three enemies. And Krishna again says, that great devouring all sinful enemy of this world, lust. Again he mentions that there. But here again he mentions these three gates leading to hell. So, if anger, lust, anger has appeared in the Kumaras even, they have become angry. And generally, krodha is a result of karma, lust. Kam, krodha, lobha, it's a progression. When you're lusty, kami, and you can't fulfill your desire, then you become angry, krodha. And then when you're angry, no, I must have it. By any means, you become greedy, lobha, kam, krodha, lobha, moha, right down to the madness. So it's a progression how a person. So generally, if you see an angry person, it's generally because of lust. The cause of that anger is he's lusty, he couldn't get something, so the anger is coming out somewhere. It's a symptom of an angry person that he is lusty. So then Arjuna, he may say, well, if anger is coming from unfulfilled desire, now supposing we can fulfill our desires, won't that save the situation? I mean, we may be very lucky, but we may have a marriage license, we may have facility to legal facility, husband and wife, they can let their lust out. So then, if we satisfy that lust, then anger won't come. So we can become free from. Krishna says, oh yeah, you may become free. Maybe the anger is not there. He said, but the lobha will develop. Because of satisfying your lust, then you become greedy for it. So you still can't escape. You'll get the lobha, the greed. Intense greed will be there for more and more. You never satisfy that lusty desire. So you may not become angry, but you'll become greedy for more. And therefore you remain bound up in the this network of puzzling existence that Krishna has created with his wonderful brain. And even though we're dealing with it, moment by moment, we cannot see how it's working. So then Krishna goes on to say, the man who has escaped these three gates of hell, O son of Kunti, he performs acts conducive to self-realization and thus gradually attains the supreme destination. So by escaping these three gates to hell, lust, anger and greed. In purple, Prabhupada said, one should be very careful of these three enemies to human life, lust, anger and greed. The more a person is freed from lust, anger and greed, the more his existence becomes pure. Then he can follow the rules and regulations enjoyed in the Vedic scriptures. By following the regulative principles of human life, one gradually raises himself to the platform of spiritual realization. If one is so fortunate by such practice to rise to the platform of Krishna consciousness, then success is guaranteed for him. In the Vedic literature, the ways of action and reaction are prescribed to enable one to come to the stage of purification. The whole method is based on giving up lust, anger and greed. By cultivating knowledge in this process, one can be elevated to the highest position of self-realization. This self-realization is perfected in devotional service. In that devotional service, the liberation of the conditioned souls is guaranteed. So here, there's a progression here, Prabhupada is speaking of. How to escape from these three enemies? First you try to become free from lust, anger and greed, then that purifies your existence. And then, when your existence is purified a little bit, then he can follow the rules and regulations enjoyed in the Vedas. In other words, you can't approach the Vedas unless you're a little bit pious and a little bit pure. Generally, you notice when you come to Krishna consciousness, just before that, you got into vegetarianism or something like that, or you become non-violent or something like that. Some piety was there, and then that gives you, makes you at least receptive when you hear Krishna consciousness. So then by following these principles, after being pious, you follow the principles of regulated of human life, and then you can rise yourself to the platform of spiritual realization. Aham Brahmasmi. You can come to that platform, Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma, understanding I am a spirit. And if one is so fortunate by such practice to rise to the platform of Krishna consciousness, then success is guaranteed. Then from there, from even the spiritual platform, you can come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, which Prabhupada said, by cultivating knowledge of this process, one can be elevated to the highest position of self-realization. This self-realization is perfected in devotional service. So even the self-realized persons, they will come to the position of devotional service. But then Krishna says, but he who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. And Prabhupada says in the first book, in the human form of life, the living entity is expected to be sane and to follow the regulations given for elevating his life to the highest platform. But if he doesn't follow them, then he degrades himself. But even if he follows the rules and regulations and the moral principles, and ultimately does not come to the stage of understanding the Supreme Lord, then all of his knowledge becomes spoiled. And even if he accepts the existence of God, if he does not engage himself in the service of the Lord, his attempts are spoiled. One should therefore gradually raise himself to the platform of Krishna consciousness and devotional service It is then and there that he can end the highest perfectional stage, not otherwise. So even if a person who accepts God, he accepts the existence of God, if he doesn't engage himself in the service of God, he's spoiled. So we see so many theists in the world today, in the very devout Christians, very devout Muslims, they're doing their numbers 5 times a day, you see everywhere. They have great faith in the existence of God. But if they don't engage in service, it's all useless, Prabhupada says. It's spoiled. Because we are the eternal servant of Krishna. So the whole point is getting, Krishna's getting the souls that come to the point of service, that is constitutional position. Simply accepting Krishna as God, or simply knowing about God, that's okay. But as long as you're not engaged in service, you're not constitutionally situated properly. And this is the abhideya. Service means abhideya, engaging in the process of the Prabhupada's movement is based on abhideya, actually, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The movement of abhideya is the first thing we do. You go to the temples. Yeah. Can you help me clean the pots, Prabhu? Can you help me? You want to come out on Sankirtan, carry this book back. Somehow or another, the first day we go in Krishna consciousness, you know? You're not the body, you're the spirit soul. You know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, I didn't know these things, oh yeah. This is when you just walked in the temple the first day. Okay, yeah, let's go clean the pots or something, got some nice service on the house. So you get, this is the way Prabhupada established society. He's given us devotional service to the point of abhideya, immediately. Because unless there is service, then no realization will come. Simply having faith is okay, but realization comes when it's put into practice. Simply knowledge is not sufficient. So here he said it, everything is spoiled. Even they're following all the rules and regulations, so they're not coming to that point of serving Krishna. It's spoiled. Then Krishna says, one should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may be gradually elevated. Purport. As stated in the 15th chapter, all the rules and regulations of the Vedas are meant for knowing Krishna. If one understands Krishna from Bhagavad Gita and becomes situated in Krishna consciousness, engaging himself in devotional service, he has reached the highest perfection of knowledge offered by Vedic literature. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this process very easy. He asked people simply to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. And to engage in the devotional service of the Lord and eat the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the deity. One who is directly engaged in all these devotional activities is to be understood as having studied all the Vedic literature. He has come to the conclusion perfectly. Of course, for ordinary persons who are not in Krishna consciousness, who are not engaged in devotional service, what is to be done and what is not to be done must be decided by the injunctions of the Vedas. One should act accordingly without argument. That is called following the principles of Shastra, or scriptures. Shastra is without the four principal defects that are visible within the conditioned imperfect senses of the soul. The propensity for cheating, certainty for committing mistakes, and the certainty of being illusion. These four defects of inconditional life disqualify one from putting forth any rules and regulations. Therefore, the rules and regulations are described in the Shastra being above these defects, are accepted without alteration by all great saints and chariots and great souls. So here, Prabhupada's pointing out how Lord Chaitanya has made this process very easy. He simply asks to chant Hare Krishna, engage in devotional service, and eat prasadam offered to the deity. That's it. And if you do that, he says you're understood to have come to the perfect conclusion. You've studied all the Vedic literatures, you performed all kinds of jagannas, you've done all kinds of austerities, penances, thousands and thousands of births before, and you come to the conclusion. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and I'm his servant, and you're engaging in his service. Then Prabhupada says, of course, for the ordinary person who are not in Krishna consciousness, are not engaged in devotional service, what is to be done and what is not to be done must be decided by the injunctions of the Vedas. In other words, if you don't know how to serve Krishna, if you don't know what to do or what not to do, you should be serving Krishna. That's what Prabhupada has given us. Here's service to Krishna. That's what you should be doing. If you don't know what you should be doing, and you don't know what you shouldn't be doing, then you're obligated to follow the Vedas. Because they don't cheat. They're above the defects of cheating, imperfect senses, delusion, etc. So therefore you're obligated to accept the rules and regulations of the Vedic Shastra to govern your life. But if you know how to serve Krishna, or you're serving Krishna, then it's not necessary for you to follow all the rules and regulations of the Shastra. Because all the regulations, do's and do nots, what you should be doing and you should not be, are for the purpose of bringing one to the point of serving Krishna. They're all for understanding Krishna. So as Prabhupada says in the other purport, that even if you follow the rules and regulations and moral principles, and ultimately that you do not come to the stage of understanding the Supreme Lord, then all that knowledge has been spoiled. So even though you're following everything perfectly, without coming to the point of serving Krishna, everything is spoiled. So we see how Prabhupada made it very, very simple. Lord Chaitanya made it simple. Prabhupada bought it and gave it in that very simplified way. Pure Krishna consciousness. Just chant, dance, take prasadam, serve Krishna, and that's all you have to know, that's all you have to do. There's nothing beyond that. But if you don't know how to serve Krishna, or you don't know what to do and what not to do, then by all means you have to follow the rules and regulations. Otherwise you're simply going to speculate. It means you're going to disregard the scriptural injunctions, you're going to act according to your own whims, and what is the result? You neither attain perfection, happiness, or the supreme destination. So therefore you're obligated to follow these principles. But a person in Krishna consciousness is not obligated. The famous prayer of Madhavendra Puri? Huh? Madhavendra Puri, okay, yeah. So, now I'm saying goodbye to my daily rituals, my three times bath. Even he seems like he's chanting his Gayatri, he's three times sandhya, he's following rules for me. I don't think they're necessary for me anymore, because I become very much attracted to that little blue boy in Vrindavan. And therefore I don't think these rules are necessary for me. They're not necessary, but they're kind of a waste of time. There's something more that's attracting my attention more than these rules and regulations. And I'm quite satisfied to be absorbed in service to that personality rather than follow all the rules and regulations. In other words, all those rules and regulations are to bring the person to Krishna consciousness. So this is the Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada gave us. Just dance, chant, do service to Krishna, take prasadam, love. And knowledge is there if you want for preaching and education, okay, you have knowledge. But if you don't have faith, you can't then, actually you're obligated as a human to follow the rules and regulations of Shastra, Vanashram, Dhamma, follow the Manu Samhita. And the whole purpose of that, again, is to bring you to the point of Krishna consciousness. So here, Krishna's given us so much information, it's all high cultured stuff that Krishna is speaking. Speaking to Arjuna, he's an Aryan. Don't be a non-Aryan Arjuna. So he's giving knowledge here of what to do and what not to do, what the Shastra says and what the Shastra, what is real culture. But ultimately real culture is simply to remember Krishna. That's all. That is real culture. As long as you can remember Krishna, that is the perfect culture. So here, because even if you remember the whole culture and you follow it, but you don't remember Krishna, then it's a waste of time. But even if you come from Malecha Desh, you're practicing Malecha culture, but you're remembering Krishna doing that, then that's better than practicing Aryan culture or Vedic culture and forgetting Krishna. The main principle. Somehow or another remember Krishna. So, and Prabhupada said, I used it. Rupa Goswami says, somehow or another, bring them to Krishna consciousness. Make them give them Krishna. First thing, make them Krishna conscious. Means tell everybody Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. Tell them to chant Hare Krishna, you are the eternal servant of Krishna. Afterwards, all the rules and regulations can come. But first you make them Krishna, you give them Krishna consciousness. Then after, and Prabhupada said, I use this formula. So I just gave everybody Krishna. I just was going to chant Hare Krishna in Tompkins Square Park. And we were chanting for hours, and then we'd eat prasadam, and then he gave them Krishna. He said, then the rules and regulations came later. And Prabhupada, we saw that. Prabhupada, he said, I follow this principle. First give them Krishna consciousness. Give them Krishna. Then afterwards, if you want them, of course, the rules and regulations will come. Because there was no rules and regulations, and they actually asked Prabhupada, is there something else we should be doing? Shouldn't there be something else? And Prabhupada said, oh, you want some rules? Okay, I will give you some rules. Then he made a list and he posted it on the wall. I bet they wish they'd never asked at that time. It must have been a shock for them. Because Prabhupada didn't say anything. But they immediately accepted, because they had tasted Krishna, then they could accept all the rules and regulations. But you imagine Prabhupada went there and put this notice on the board when they first day they came, no illicit sex, no intoxication. They would have walked out the other door. They wouldn't have stayed. But because he gave them a taste of Krishna consciousness, then he gave them rules, and they could accept easily, because they already had attraction for Krishna. And they knew this was favorable for Krishna consciousness. Okay, so I hope we don't become too bewildered by so many other things that go on in the name of religion. We stick to Prabhupada's simpler formula. Chant Hare Krishna, be happy. Go back home, back to Kathak. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sanda Veda Bhakta Brinda ki. Jai Nitai Go Premanandi. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, my dear. Yeah, the question is that if they're envious and they go to an animal species, then the animal doesn't work. He's just working off that bad karma, so he doesn't get any. So it is a natural elevation. He should be promoted up again. The animal, Prabhupada said that. The hunters in the jungle and things like that, he said they're very, very vicious. They're very, very cruel. They kill animals. He said they're very envious people. So even the Bhagavatam says that person, he's considered like an animal. Even though he has a human body, he's considered like an animal. So, Prabhupada, so you can be kept in species like that. You can take your birth in the jungles, and so you're always very envious. You have to hurt people and hurt animals and kill them, and they're still existing. Yeah. But it maybe means he's lowest. Prabhupada says lowest species of life. Then he says even down to hogs, dogs. But in Jharkhand, Chennai Natshala, we have a temple there, very nice place. Krishna's, Mahaprabhu went there. It's right next to that place where when Sanatana Goswami was freed from the jail and he ran away. Then he went across, he got the innkeeper, the whole leela with the gold coins, and he took him across the mountains, the other side. So that is right near Chennai Natshala. You can see that in the distance. You can see that mountain pass where he took. But there, all that area, there's all tribals. And our village is okay where Chennai Natshala is. But just outside of that, there's tribals. And I didn't go there, but some devotees went there walking, and then the tribes come out and they have bows and arrows. And what do you got in the bead bag? What do you got in the bag? They had bead bags. They thought there was some kind of spies and they wanted to look. And they said, no, we chant Hare Krishna, we're from that temple over there. And they were really, really suspicious. And so I said, any chance of making these people Krishna conscious? They were only if we chant Hare Krishna, and they chant it, but they don't chant. Maybe they can hear it in the distance sometimes. But they may perpetually stay in that kind of life, you know, being cruel the whole life, envious of different, like Magrari, the hunter also. He was so cruel that he would half kill the animal. He got pleasure actually from seeing the animals taken. So perpetually maybe like that kind of uncivilized, it's almost like animals. Lower species. Pardon? Oh, yeah. 400,000, yeah. They're down the bottom. Yeah, yeah. That tiger. Pankajanga for us. No, he didn't. Prabhupada, we don't accept that theory of eternal condemnation like in the Krishna's say you go to hell forever. But he said God is not so cruel, but it's almost an eternity. Nityabhada means like eternally conditioned. There's always chance of your coming out, but it's more or less eternal. They don't make the endeavor, and Krishna's not making the endeavor, so it's more or less like an eternality. I mean, considering we've been in this material world for billions and billions of universes, billions and billions of years, how great time is that? And how much time do we spend in Krishna consciousness? So it's like an eternity. The only saving grace is not any pious activity or religious activity. The only saving grace is if you meet the devotee. By the mercy of the devotee, you can get piety, and by the mercy of a devotee, you can get bhakti. You can get faith in bhakti. And not by any other process. So it's only that verse in the Chaitanya-mrita. There's a piece of wood floating on the ocean, has a hole in it, and there's a turtle that lives on the bottom of the ocean. And he comes up once every year for one breath of air. He sticks his nose up out in the air and he goes, and then he goes back down for 1 year. So it's a vast ocean and there's this piece of wood with a hole in it. So what are the chances that this wood is coming in the same time that turtle once in a year is coming up, that he will put his nose through that hole? He said that's how actually rare it is to come into contact with the devotee in the material world. That's why we should be fearful. How long we've been in this material, and how rare it is to get out. By grace of a devotee only we're all here. That's the only reason, the only explanation. Otherwise, it is more or less eternally condemned in this. One universe is quite a long time, you know. What to speak of billions and billions of universes within. Like in eternality. Marigutakam. Yeah. Well, they may not be so advanced. They may be very much in the mode of passion. But at least they're accepting the Vedas. That they want to eat the goats. But you can't say it's very advanced. They're very much in the mode of passion. So then they go to the Vedas and just offer to Goddess Kali on the dark moon, etc. like that. So they're pious people because they're turning to the Vedas, but Vaishnavas, they completely avoid these. You never see the Vaishnava in the Kali temple in Calcutta. When they're chopping the heads off the goats and things like that. They never go near that place. But they're pious. You have the Gaudiya Math, so many Gaudiya Maths in Calcutta, they never go to the Kali Ghat. They're also turned to scripture, and these people are also using scripture. They're pious, but it's according to their own nature. Then they don't go, do they? Then they put the picture of Kali in the butcher's shop. And then they every day of the month they kill the goat and say it's Kali Prasadi. That is whimsical, manufacturing their own idea. So they don't, do they? But the ones, yeah, they must. Then Ramaniya Mataji is saying then there should be a good government. And then the government makes sure everybody's acting according to their duty. Somehow or another they'll come into contact with a priest who comes and does the Kali Puja, or they do something in their house, they want some samskaras done because the government is telling them to follow their religion. And the priest is chanting Om Narayana Namo or something like that. They'll hear the names of Krishna, it'll be mentioned there. Somehow or another, they have little contact. If there's a good government, and they're impious. There is no piety in Kali Yuga. Yeah, in Kali Yuga it's practically useless. The Bhavasya Purana says in the Kali Yuga, one saffron clad man will come and teach the Vedas in the Malecha language to the Malechas. And he will initiate with fire. Seems just like Prabhupada. Prabhupada initiated with fire, nobody else does that. They give the second initiation, but the first initiation, only Prabhupada did that. But prediction in the Bhavasya Purana. Everything is bad in Kali Yuga, but that's the glory. It's so bad. The glory is still Lord Chaitanya appeared in Kali Yuga. And then you had, so even Vyasadeva is glorifying. Oh, there is some, it's a great value in acting in this Kali Yuga. So Chaitanya has appeared here. So everybody got his opportunities here. Engaged in the Sankirtan mission. Doorkeepers, yeah. You have to go through the. You can shake hands with Jaivi Day. No, they're on the way to Vaikuntha. There's tridents there, it says, in its 10 directions that stop any unqualified person entering. But you can see Vaikuntha on the way. If you want to stop off, you can get off. You can see everything on the way to Goloka. All those, you go through the material world, you get any situation you want, you can stop off anywhere. And then you get Vaikuntha and you can stop off there. He has the key to the back door. He said, unless you're 100% Krishna consciousness, you cannot go back to Godhead. And everybody went, So he saw their despondency. He said, well, 90%, 80%, and I think 75, is it? 70 or 70. How is that? 75? Yeah, Jai Prabhupada. And then he was walking here. As he left the room, he's just walking out. Then he turned around to the devotee next to him. He said, and if you can't do 70, just catch hold of my dhoti. I got the back door key to go Goloka. So that is amazing grace. And therefore, Krishna says, even a person who's committed the most abominable sins, he can. If he becomes a devotee, if he's rightly situated in devotional service, all of that sinful act, impiety, all becomes insignificant for him. Bhavananda Prabhu, he asked Srila Prabhupada, the Prabhupada often say, you're all pure devotees of Lord Chaitanya, you come to help with a mission and things like that. He said, Prabhupada, how you can say that? You know, but he often said that. From our very birth, we only knew what was impiety. He said, my whole life, I've been doing sinful activities. Everything against the injunctions of the scriptures. So how you can say that, you're saying sometimes you're all pure devotees. And Prabhupada said, he said, all that is all superficial. He said, the moment you come and you accept Krishna and you surrender to Krishna, everything else is completely superficial, no matter what you've done. It's all superficial. Now you've accepted Krishna and you're serving Krishna. So, this is the wonderful thing of Krishna consciousness. This prayer they're offering, Jai and Vijay, please be merciful to us. On what consideration? What was their consideration? They're begging for mercy. Their consideration was that we've repented. They'd repented. So please consider this. Consider the aspect of we are repenting and be merciful for this alone. We're not challenging you on. We're not going to make a scene about it. We're admitting we're wrong, and we're repenting. So please be merciful upon this quality of repentance of ours. So this is a very great thing in Krishna consciousness, repentance. Because Krishna consciousness can be had right now. It's actually, now is the most important time to become Krishna consciousness, because now you can become Krishna. In the past you can't, in the future who knows. But now you can become Krishna, you can surrender to Krishna. So it's very important that we, because we're always committing sinful activities, knowingly, unknowingly, somehow or another we're illusions. In the material world we're full of faults. So we, Maya was always attracting, so we do make many offenses. We do still make many sinful activities. We are irreligious. He said, if you don't do everything for the satisfaction of Krishna, it's irreligion. If you don't follow Krishna's instruction, it's irreligion. So, the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness is that even if you have committed all those abominable, even if you've been a devotee, and you've still committed abominable acts, but and then you repent and you come back, then that's glorious. You're Krishna's servant and you're establishing Krishna. That's what Krishna sees. He doesn't see the past. But you maintain it, you make a vow and you stick to it, and then you don't see the past. It's all gone. Even if you've performed so many abominable activities, you can't do it on the strength, let's see, nama for us. Prabhupada often used that in the seventh chapter, 28 verse. Tesham tu anta gata papam means persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, they engage themselves in my service with determination. So here Krishna is saying, to engage in his service, you've got to be free from delusion, you've got to be eradicated from all kinds of sinful actions, in previous lives also, and in this life, and free from all dualities. Then you can engage yourself in Krishna service with devotion. That means you've got to be completely purified last life, this life, free from all kinds of... Then you can take to my devotional service with determination. So Prabhupada comments a few times on this verse, and he says that the idea is, it's a fact because Krishna is speaking it. Unless you're free from sinful activities, you cannot take to devotional service. So Prabhupada said, here is the evidence, the proof of the potency of devotional service and chanting Hare Krishna. You're all coming from very simple backgrounds. You chant Hare Krishna one time and you're allowed to perform devotional service. You meet the devotees, you chant Hare Krishna and you're allowed to perform devotional service. He said, this means that you become purified from all previous sins, previous life, this life. You're free. You've already done that. That's evidence because you've taken the devotional service. He said, this is the potency of the holy name. You shouldn't underestimate the power of the holy name. There is no sin great that the holy name cannot absorb. Or no amount of sins that one chanting of the holy name cannot absorb. And so Prabhupada said, this is the evidence. You chanted Hare Krishna, you've taken the devotional service. So that chanting Hare Krishna actually absolved all of your sins of past activities. Previous birth, this birth. Because you're engaged in devotional service. As long as you stay fixed in devotional service, then you can be considered purified. And that's the fact. If your consciousness is absorbed in serving Krishna, you're pure. Because your consciousness will never go beyond that. There's nothing higher to gain for your consciousness than to be serving Krishna. So if you're serving Krishna right now in the material world and absorbed in it, there's nothing else to be achieved. The same consciousness will be there when you go back to Goloka. It won't change. So therefore you can be considered pure, because they're all pure. Here is the Dham, all the inhabitants are pure here, because they have this consciousness. So if you have the consciousness, then you're considered pure. As long as you don't deviate from that consciousness. The moment you leave that consciousness, you must be considered impure. So that's our business, to keep our consciousness absorbed in devotional service. So if we can do that, Prabhupada's form with it. Just keep engaging in devotional service. And then you can repent for your past sinful mentality and take shelter of the holy name, and that will absolve all your sins. So you can do that every day before you chant your japa, or every moment of the day, any time in the day. Because it will start from that point. Krishna will see from that point. Maharaj Katabanga. Katabanga? He's going to die. He asked the demigods. He did a lot of service at the world. What benediction? Just tell me when I'm going to die. Baba, you're going to die the next moment. Let me fix my consciousness in Krishna. So he fixed his consciousness in Krishna. So he was Krishna conscious. That's all Krishna saw. He remembered me. He was at the time of leaving his body, he went to me. So what your consciousness is, if it's absorbed in Krishna, then it's absolute. That's what Krishna is seeing. How is your consciousness? If he speaks in the other verse in Bhagavatam, ends with the Mukti Dayavat, Sati Nupam Kam verse. Same attitude is being expressed there. You're the eternal servant of Krishna, you know that. Nothing's going to deviate for you from that. But you're going through all your karmas are coming back, good reactions. You've got so many karmic acts to perform, your duties to maintain your family, life, etc., whatever you're doing. Your good karmas coming, your bad karmas coming. And he says it's all secondary. His consciousness is fixed, I'm eternal servant of Krishna. That's all. But he doesn't have practically any time for Krishna consciousness because of his activities and his karma is forcing, you know, you've got 10 kids to look after, whatever. Got to work hard. He hasn't got any time for Krishna consciousness because that becomes secondary in his consciousness. His main consciousness is I'm Krishna's eternal servant. Because of that, Lord Brahma says, simply because he has that understanding. And it's prominent and everything else is secondary. All his karmic activities, or you know, so-called karmic, that's all secondary. Because of that, he says, he goes back to Godhead. Brahma says, he gets mukti. He goes back to Godhead. It's his rightful claim, simply because he had that consciousness. I'm Krishna's servant. And I'm not going to be deviated from that. My activities, they may not be very Krishna consciousness, because I got to maintain. I'm in the material world and I'm going along with all my karmas. I have to go along with it. But it's never going to deviate me from this point. Simply that consciousness, Lord Brahma says he goes back to Godhead. Krishna says the same thing also, 18th chapter, 50th something. My devotees engage in all kinds of activities. He didn't say they're all engaged in devotional service. He said they're engaged in all kinds of activities. They've got to maintain their families, they've got to work hard, they've got to do this, they've got to do that. They all come to me, Krishna says. Why? Because they understand I'm the eternal servant of Krishna and he's my master. Krishna says they all come to me. They come to my supreme abode. Why? How? Krishna says, by my mercy. Otherwise it's not possible. Arjuna says, what's your logic, Krishna? All my devotees come to me. You've got very advanced sannyasi, renowned, knowledgeable, free sannyasis, 24 hours a day serving you. Your other devotee, he's got 10 kids to look after. He can only give you, you know, 10 minutes puja every day. How you can say, Krishna, all my devotees come to me? They're all engaged in different activities. They all come to me. How you can say that, Krishna? Where is your logic? Krishna says the logic is, it's illogical. By my mercy, they come to me because they're my devotees. And they recognize it. So that's what Krishna's seeing. He's just seeing that you're his devotee. You accept him as the Supreme Person of the body. You go back to him. That's the only consciousness you need. And it doesn't matter about the activities of this world. As long as that consciousness becomes prominent. So all this is established simply by the mercy of devotees. Without the mercy of devotees, then we're going to be forever bound up with all these rules and regulations and what to do and what not to do in a sense. So it's complicated. And what is it? You know that story of Paranjan? I think Paranjan, long story, and he's forest of enjoyment, and I think it was that story. It goes on and on and on. And the poor guy, in the end, he had to go to hell. And all he wanted to do was look after his family nicely. He wanted to be a nice, family, pious man. But because he was attached to his family, he had to go to hell. I said, even following everything nicely, because he did it so nicely, he became attached. And because of that attachment to his family, he had to see a hell. So it's so complicated, this material world. But with devotional service, when one has risen out of the dense darkness of delusion, you'll become different from all that's been seen and all that's been heard. Naisa Gun Bhavaji, rise above these words of the flowery words of the Vedas, telling you to do this and not to do this, not to do that. Rise above it, Arjuna. Become situated in. You're becoming different from everything that's been seen and everything that's been heard. So we may not have that realization, but we have devotional service. That's keeping us aloof. Our consciousness may not be fixed in that realization, but our activities can keep us fixed in that realization, in devotional service. Shri Prabhupada ki. Thank you. Hare Krishna.